Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast, that podcast focused on a zero emission future that we all hope for. Every week I am joined by a wonderful guest from across the industry of zero emission vehicles or infrastructure or ecosystem, and it's a very special guest this week because we have the general manager, the senior leader from the wonderful brand new gold sponsor, Verizon, Callum James. Callum, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Paul and Sarah. It's great to see you both and super pleased to be here because we are your gold sponsor, which we are so proud that you guys kindly wanted to partner with us. And yeah, so that the, of course, the benefit of that is some of your lovely listeners get the, we can call it a pleasure, of listening to me for 5 minutes. So let's go with that. Hopefully it's all good.
We'll be the judge of that, Mr. James. We'll be the judge of that, whether it's a pleasure or not. But as you kindly pointed out, we do have the lovely Sarah Sloman. I am always privileged to be joined by one of the other team of the EV Cafe. Sass, welcome to you.
I was very excited for this one. Yes, wonderful gold partner, but also just an incredible product, great team, and can't wait to get into that. We had so much fun recording that video at your place in London. So if you can pop along to London, you should have a look at the showroom too. But what have we got? 45 minutes together, and we'll be drilling into a little more than just the van.
Ooh, sounds like big pressure. Sounds like big pressure. But Callum, I guess it's a perfect opportunity to start. So a couple of things. There are people out there that think that maybe I'm wrong. I call Verizon, but maybe I'm wrong. Have I got it right or wrong? But also in your precious introduction, can you just kind of talk us into a day in the life for Callum as you're leading this business, which is relatively young, perhaps, you know, less than a couple of years, maybe only a year or so in the UK. Give us a day in the life for you, and also clear up the name for us.
Yeah, so I'm pleased to say it is Verizon, and I tried to say that in the least West Country accent possible. talking to two fellow West Country people.
Indeed.
But I think Far Horizon, you know, into the future, into the far horizon, that's probably the easiest way of remembering it. What does a standard day look like? I have to say, you know, I joined this business just over a year ago. So May is my 1 year anniversary since leaving my previous employer of 11 years. Where I had a very, very happy career. We launched last year, and I always think of it as a kind of a David and Goliath type thing, really. There are some really well-established players out there in the commercial vehicle world. And we're the small guys, you know. We are new. We are new to market in the UK, which is very, very complex and very, very layered. I'm sure we'll cover some of those things as we go throughout this podcast. And what that means is, you know, there's a lot for us to do. You know, we spent the last year really kind of setting ourselves up, getting our ducks in a row, making sure we've got all of that backup. You know, how do we support customers with uptime, you know, with some of our partnerships. We can talk about that later. But what all of that transpires to now in a day for me, I simply couldn't answer, because every day is so different. Because, you know, we are building a business and building a brand and building a profile, you know, particularly in the fleet industry, where, you know, the van is so important. You know, the cost of a van being off the road is incredibly challenging. So we have to make sure that we're prepared and we get things right. We give that confidence and that credibility. So honestly, every day, so different. I try and spend a couple of days a week with the team in Park Royal. We're just above the showroom now, the North Circular. And yes, as Sarah said, please do come and visit, because it's a fabulous facility. Other times I could be out with visiting our dealer partners, you know, our investors, who we're so grateful to have on board. You know, they've given us, you know, their vote of confidence that they believe in our brand and want to partner with us and promote it to their customers. And they have lots of other brands that we deal with as well. So, you know, we're the small guys, but I think there's a lot of faith in us, which is fantastic. And my job is to make sure we convert that faith into reality.
You know, small guys today, big ambitions nonetheless. And one thing you definitely do in your day that you haven't touched upon is breed this amazing culture. Everyone you meet on the Verizon team knows those vehicles inside and out, really, really wants to help. And whoever's behind designing these things, they're seriously putting the driver, I think, at the heart of everything that you're trying to do. And we've got Paul Kirby here, the van man. Obviously, he is the expert on all the features and functions of all of these vehicles. But for me, as somebody quite new looking at vans, I was really taken with the driving position, the technology within the cab, the payload monitoring system. Give us your favourites, though. What do you love so much about? You can pick whichever one you want. There's different sizes, of course, but pick the one you want.
I mean, I do just love the van, you know. And I spent my career in passenger cars, you know, in luxury passenger cars, and before I moved over to the murky world of commercial vehicles. And I just love vans. I think it's just far more interesting than cars. And I think,
the van, they are, yay!
And I think, you know, and you know, part of my wanting to join this business and be a part of it is just how good the product is. You know, the product is built and developed by Geely, and you know, your listeners will probably know of Geely Car, who've come recently, but actually they are the parent to Volvo, to Lotus, to Polestar, to LEVC. They're in a joint venture with Mercedes-Benz on Smart as well, which probably many people don't know about, and there are more brands that they will bring to market. So, you know, there's real brand heritage behind Verizon, which probably many people don't know about, you know, and that means that there is a whole army, you know, 2,000 or so R&D engineers that are there to that have brought this fantastic product to market. And as I say, I just love the whole thing. But if I had to pick a particular feature that I love, you know, currently on the model year 25 and into the model year 26, we have a standard comfort ventilated seat. So when we've got hot weather like you have today, or we have this last few days, you know, you can hop in and out, and it's into a nice cool van, it's pumping cold air. And you know, for a fleet operator that has the welfare of their drivers at heart, you know, what a nice thing if they're jumping in and out and they can be cooled rather than blasting the aircon, which is less efficient.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europcarma. Search Europcar Business.
Indeed, indeed. And actually, just staying on that subject with one more time, whilst it is for a considerate fleet manager to put things like that on their wish list for their people, their drivers who are going to be driving around, what I loved about it, what really struck me when we filmed all of the different ones, was that it's not just that. It's the self-employed driver, somebody whose that vehicle is their workhorse in and out of work as well. And that price point you've got, I just think is really compelling. But we've got the real van expert with us. Let's go to Paul and see what he's thinking.
Well, do you know what? I tell you what I'm thinking is, oh boy, I could do with that cooled seat right now. Callum, if you could just get one delivered for me, I'll happily drive it around just about everywhere and anywhere. Because honestly, that cooling is really good. And I'm not just beginning. I mean, I remember many years ago, so you and I will have a shared heritage in some respects, in that I too was in Mercedes-Benz, but on the van side, only ever on the van side. And my first car, because that's what they gave us, was a Mercedes E-Class, and it had every option known to man. And this was back in 2004, and it had cooled seats. And I was like in heaven. It was great. I just loved it. And the van today. But I think, you know what, Callum, I love that you love vans, and vans, they matter. And you've mentioned about uptime and the cost of downtime. You know, these vehicles have got to be productive. And I guess there's a lot of people that would wonder, well, how do you set your stall out? Now, I know this, and so I'm really confident that I'm not trying to trip you up here, because, you know, the parent of Verizon UK has real heritage in markets beyond China, right? So they're not actually Chinese. And that gives a lot of confidence. Although, to be honest, having been to China, we can come on to this later, you and I both know that they are doing a very, very good job over there. But talk to us about that kind of commitment to the UK market from your immediate parent.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, we operate a distribution or distributor model in the UK for Verizon. So I don't actually work for Geely. I actually work for a company called Jamil Motors, part of Abdul Latif Jamil Group. And Jamil Motors, we are the authorized distributor in the UK. And, you know, the business has over 80 years of heritage. So it's not a new business. It's probably one of the largest automotive businesses that many people in the UK might not have heard of, but has actually presence in the UK in other ventures and things that they operate in as well. Traditional OEM distributor, huge Toyota business partner in the Middle East and into North Africa. And we partner with many, many brands and actually recently have gone into lots of new markets, so new into Europe, into Italy and into Poland as well. And they're partnering with some of those, tier one, strong Chinese brands that are looking for local expertise that understand, the local demands and needs of the market and can help those brands access those markets. And, UK electric van, is a tough gig because there are so many demands on fleet operators and owner drivers who are looking for a way forward in how do you make this transition to EV work for them. We're a very experienced business with a very experienced brand, and now the task is let's bring that to life and help those customers and operators on their journey.
I'd love to come in if I can, because I've just come back from Future of the Car, and of course Verizon had a big part to play in that incredible event, and it is good. It's another level, that one. It's very much decision maker, CEO, C-suite, global presence, a lens on what's coming over from perhaps China to Europe to the UK. And the one thing I really took away from that was the word trust, the brand trust, that we've kind of flipped the EV market from going, oh, what's an EV? There's still a lot of that going on. Can it work for me? Is more like, I hope it can. And what they were teaching us there with some of the brands who presented was around putting the driver first and thinking about the quality of the machine is the way you're going to win consistent orders as you move forward. So yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I've just been desperate to say what's on the horizon for Verizon. So obviously you've just brought out, we just revealed at the CV show, we had the EV Cafe Village there and we were neighbouring with you. We did a big announcement, a cool shot, cool photo, because we just unveiled the smaller, more affordable of the vans. And so you've got, tell the audience a potted takeaway of how many vans you've kind of got and why that matters. You've got the big one to the little one, essentially, but go for it. See what you can do.
So up until very recently, so the CV show, we brought SV, which stands for super van, because it is a super van. We brought that to market in sizes from L1H1 up to L3H3. So, think big Sprinter size from Transit Custom size up to big Sprinter size, with, various different batteries from 67 kilowatt to an 83 to a 10, range leading, class leading 106. We have good coverage in that medium and large van. And we very recently introduced the V70. So that's our newest product, which is still a medium van, but even to the eye, doesn't look like it. It looks like a sort of a smaller, narrower footprint, but actually it's still got almost 7 meters cubed of capacity, up to 1.3 ton of payload, and can do just over 200 miles, but adds a very affordable position. We're very proud to have brought that to market. Very excited about that one. Lots of inquiries and lots of noise from the CV show where we launched it, which unfortunately I didn't get to be at the launch, because actually I was in Beijing at the motor show bumping into Paul, and we had a good chat when we were there in a very, very hot exhibition hall. And to be fair, Paul, with your waistcoat, you were really sort of powering on there. fair play and respect to you for that.
But it was an exciting time, and I guess, as we look at what Verizon are doing, and you look at the horizon for Verizon, and you can see, I know, I'm going to steal it, of course.
Twice
we'll
now,
clip
too.
This one.
How many more?
Yeah, as we look ahead, we saw a completely autonomous vehicle. Now, I know that that's not necessarily destined for the UK because it was a collaboration between, I think it was Lenovo, WeRide, and, you know, there's lots of different elements of the tech that there's going to... But I, you know, we went to a part of Beijing, John Curtis and I went to this area, I forget what it's called because the names are quite challenging. But we went there and saw a Verizon van driving with no driver. Nobody in it. The windows dropped down. There it was, the steering wheel turning. Off it went to its next whatever. And it is a complete infrastructure change. I mean, just talk to us about how exciting it must be to be part of a brand that is considering those sorts of things and trying to pioneer. And what might that mean for the van sector in the future? Speculate for us.
I think that actually it's that word. I would say pioneer. Actually, probably I'd say I think Verizon. They are innovators. You know, they're fast followers. They didn't invent the van. You know, it's a relatively new brand. The brand is 10 years or up to 11 years old. But what they've really done is taken what is a good kind of competitive basket of products. And there's some really good products out there from competitors. And they've taken it to another level. You know, it's the first successful, in my opinion, from the ground up electric van. You know, most of the vans that are out there on the market in the UK are combustion engine vehicles that have been adapted. So there's compromise there, even just physically in the way the vehicles are laid out can be compromised. And that affects range and efficiency and all of those things that are very, very important to an owner, driver, and operator. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, in China, you see this real pace of technology out there. You know, if you go wander around Beijing or any of the cities, you know, in the last year, I've been fortunate to visit Shanghai, Hangzhou, Changsha, Shangrao, all these different places that kind of associated with Geely and Verizon. And you see these cars going down the road with these little green lights on the back, which means they're in full autonomous mode. You know, this isn't just in Beijing, in the capital. This is out there. You know, it's incredible. And, I think we've seen in the Far East, those markets have really accelerated and are now taking it to the legacy brands, you know, who've got some catching up to do. And I think walking around those 16 halls, and if you think about the NEC, most shows there are what, five, maybe six halls at best, 16 halls of new brands, new products, new technology. You know, we saw lots of vertical takeoff and landing craft there. You know, there were six wheelers with mini helicopters on the back of them. There was all sorts of crazy stuff going on there. And, you know, autonomous, you know, robo taxis, as we might call them. Of course, there are trials that are already happening in the UK with different products and different businesses. And what you saw in the Beijing Motor Show was a collaboration between a company operator called WeRide and Verizon on this robo taxi. And of course, you know, all parties are looking at different markets and what's the market readiness, you know, in different cities, whether it's London or Berlin or Jeddah or Riyadh or Dubai, you know, all of these different places where, you know, what point will legislation allow for those things to be successful? You know, and every country is different. So it's incumbent upon us as a distributor, you know, Geely is a manufacturer, you know, and also the other OEMs that are out there, really to be at kind of the forefront of, you know, what consumer demand and behavior, what does it require? You know, what are they looking for? What will technology allow, but fundamentally what will legislation allow as well, you know, for some of these things to come to life, and also customer or the general public perception, because I don't know how you felt getting in the back of a driverless taxi, Paul, but I get that was a bit of a surreal experience, that there's no one there, you know, to take control of the wheel. You know, I don't even know if what you saw, there was a wheel. I don't know, but yeah, no, I mean, how did that feel?
There was we Unfortunately, due to apps and bits and pieces, we weren't actually able to get in it. We were able to watch it, and but we were trying desperately. We had some amazing help from a couple of people that were living out in China and trying to provide us with IDs and various bits and pieces. But sadly, we didn't get to ride in it. But we saw it really close up, and it was very exciting. Even at that, I'd have been absolutely cock-a-hoop if we'd have got in the thing. You know, it would have been great. And I think, you know, autonomy is a potential solution for one of the problems with VAS. And we saw it with some manufacturer called Li, and they have the potential. It's not there yet for the L4. L3 is fine, but L4 autonomy, which means it doesn't need a driver. And then they've got robotized charging, which Geely are also pioneering as well, which was on show at the show. So you can pull up and you could, I mean, if you were in the vehicle, you just walk away from it and it would do it all itself and plug it in and start charging and do all of that sort of stuff. But they were proposing that actually your vehicle parks, you go off, it goes off and drives to a charge point, pulls itself in, the robot arm comes out, it charges, fills up in no time at all, because it's charging at 500 kilowatts on a cable, the size of a pen, bit bigger, size of a selfie stick. There we go. A bit about that. And it was mind blowing, because one of the biggest challenges for the UK market, vans wise, is being able to charge. You know, when you don't have a driveway and you don't even have, you know, the ability to park your vehicle next to your house. So, yeah, it was quite amazing in terms of the opportunities.
And I remember, you know, our shared sort of former employer, you know, maybe probably 10 years ago, I remember going to a conference and someone talking about, you know, in the not too distant future, you know, when it comes to servicing, cars will drive themselves to a service overnight. So they even think, you know, to see shift patterns in dealerships changing, you know, because, you know, when you've gone to bed at night, well, your car could go off, get itself serviced, and then be back there so it's ready for you in the morning. I mean, that's, having seen what's going on in the Far East, you kind of think, oh, it's not that far away now. I didn't believe it 10 years ago, but now it doesn't seem too far-fetched at all.
But Callum, can I say, what we saw in China was that China have grasped the nettle and they're doing this stuff. And you know, it's fine to dream. And I, you know, not to speak ill of our former employer or any of the legacy brands, quite honestly. But and by legacy, what I mean by that is brands that have been longer than 11 years ago, you know. So I think it's the new kids on the block that have come in response to a market challenge and a market demand that are bringing like fast moving, really developed technology that will make a difference like very, very quickly. Whereas legacy brand have dreamed it and China's gone and made it happen. Is that something you feel?
Absolutely. And you know, again, that's part of my reason for being here with Verizon. You know, there's and of course I can't talk too much about what the future product landscape looks like for us. You know, we've introduced two models in a short space of time whilst we're building a brand, building a business and a network to support it. But I mean, look, you take the Verizon, you know, so they didn't invent the van, but look at GSV, it's the first vehicle with a payload monitoring system, okay? How many overweight vans are there out there on the road? You know, that fleet operators are running with risk every day, that actually if that vehicle was stopped and they're running an overweight van, what risk does that pose to their business, you know? So, as I say, I think I was simply... Association of Fleet Professionals conference a couple of weeks ago, and for me, you know, fabulous organization and really believe in what they do there, and again we were proud to be able to sponsor and partner with them. And you know, rather than trying to sell our wares and look talk about how great the van is, we really sort of took a deep dive into I talked earlier on about fast followers, you know, examples of fast followers that, you know, if you take Samsung for example. Samsung didn't invent the smartphone. Okay. But what they've done is they've taken that base invention and they've innovated. You know, they were a fast follower with it. And as a result, you know, after what, 10, 11 years of being an Apple convert. My whole house ecosystem was Apple. And now I'm one of these bendy smartphones from Samsung, because they've innovated, they've seen an opportunity, they've studied the use case and the demand, and they've innovated and produced phenomenal products. And now they've got my business. And I think that's where, certainly where I and my colleagues, and I think you referenced my colleagues earlier on, really have an amazing team around us. You know, everyone very passionately believes in what we're doing here and in the brand, because it's just phenomenal product. They've thought about so much, and they've taken that, I don't want to call it bakes, because that would be unfair. There's some fantastic product out there from different OEMs, but they've taken that and then taken it to another level and thought about, okay, well, what's important to fleets? Making sure my fleet's compliant, making sure I look after the welfare of my drivers, even the convenience of, well, actually, you know, quite often you find inverters are having to put power in, you know, different battery systems or charging systems to operate tools. Well, the van comes with those things, is standard. You know, the SV has 3.3 kilowatt chargers, a plug, 3-pin plug socket in the back of the van. So again, if you're an owner operator, let's just say you're, you know, to use a classic example, a plumber, and you've got power tools, well, you can charge them in the van. You know, it's, you don't have to think about that. So, you know, it's that innovation. And I think, you know, we've spent a lot of our time over the last 12 months or so, Coinbase telling everyone how shiny our ASHRAE is. And I think we're getting a lot of good feedback and engagement on that. But the next thing really for us is about proving, you know, it's not just about how good the product is, it's how we as a distributor, or, you know, we call us the OEM in the UK, how we can support operators day to day, and how we innovate with our service, because we, for example, don't have a as big of a dealer network as the legacy brands will deal, the established brands. You know, they might have 40, 50, 60 dealers, and up to 100 in some cases. You know, we are live today with 9 dealer locations with a good geographical spread. That's set to significantly grow between now and the end of the year. We've got a good pipeline of investors that are developing. But we have our partnership with the AA. And coming back to you referenced uptime earlier on, you know, our partnership with the AA isn't just roadside assistance. It is also around mobile service maintenance and repair. So you can book, if you're a Verizon customer, you can book your your service or a mobile repair within a 72-hour SLA, and the AA will come out and do that for you. And if you think to the owner driver or the owner operator, who to get their vehicle serviced might have to lose a day's trade, but they don't need to do that anymore. You know, so it really, we really, you know, using this innovative product, trying to think about different ways that we can tackle uptime, and we can support the operator. So yeah, innovation, I think, is that's what that brand is all about, and we at Jamil Motors believe in that, and we live and breathe it.
Duncan Webb was posting about uptime just this morning off the back of the Logistics UK conference last week, where I was doing a very good job, I might say, of selling a Verizon van. Just because what your fast follower analogy there was Samsung versus Apple. So if you put in that context, obviously Apple were the leader, but Samsung got your bum on a seat, and now you are in fact a convert back to Android. And that is what we are seeing in what can sometimes be a very politicized, very polarized environment. You either like EV or you don't. And it's always when somebody can see that, touch it, feel it, believe that it could play a part in their business. And you referenced a plumber there, but I see so much potential for these vehicles with those 3-pin sockets. Think a baker who brings their wares to the back of a van in a village, as I used to live in a very small village, and we always had the baker. You couldn't smell the bread, but if there was a way to heat the bread for you, the queue around the block of people wanting. So if you think any appliance you have in your shop or your house that you can run off the back of your van, the possibilities are endless. And I'm so proud to be partnered with a brand that puts people at the heart of everything they're doing. But you're their leader, you're their GM, you are who the team look to seek that leadership. And I can sense it from you. You've just moved house, you've had a busy old year, my goodness me. And yet every time I speak to you, every time I see you, you're so eloquent, you're so on point, you know exactly what you're doing. And I think a lot of that confidence that you bring will mean that brand is a huge success. But who did that for you? Obviously, where do you feel your confidence and your leadership skills have come from?
I mean, I've been very, very fortunate to work with some fantastic leaders in my previous career. You know, I can sit here and rattle off a few. There are external influences. You could look at good political leaders and things like that and go for the obvious. You know, I probably wouldn't make myself popular if I said, well, actually, for example, in terms of communication, I would look at Tony Blair and thought, what a great communicator, you know, and he's obviously very topical at the moment. Doesn't mean I necessarily agree with everything he did or didn't do. But fundamentally, you know, very, very strong leader, could tell a good story, could bring people along that journey. And I think that's an incredibly important quality in a leader. And I've worked with some really good people and been fortunate to be mentored by people. You know, some of my old bosses at Mercedes-Benz, for example, always quotes Sarah Palfreyman, Tom Brennan, Andrew Medcraft. You know, these people may or may not listen to this podcast. They will do now that I've mentioned it. Then I will make sure that they listen. But they are people that have really left an impression upon me about, you know, they act with such conviction. They really get behind the story. They believe in things, and then they make it happen, you know, and they bring those people along on that journey. And that's, you know, for me with Verizon, I think we are bringing people along on a journey. You know, it's important that I speak with such conviction and my team do, because fundamentally we all believe in what we're doing. You know, we're taking it to the big boys and girls, and, you know, it's particularly in the electric van world, which, you know, is still niche in the market. You know, it's last year, it was just under 10%. If you look at the April year-to-date figures, it's still hovering around just under 10% in terms of share. So there's some work to do there at the moment. And the government target is much bigger this year at 24% for the ZEV mandate. So there's still a lot of work to do. There's still a lot of nervousness for fleet operators who, you know, predominantly, I would say about 95% of the electric van market is fleet today. And because they have to think about infrastructure, they have to think about uptime, they have to convince the profit and loss decision makers in their businesses, yes, it's right for us to invest in these things, which on paper look greater. And maybe over the last few years, the TCO model has been challenged as well, because energy prices are high and continue to remain high. And, you know, we'd obviously like to see that come down, albeit fuel prices with the conflict in the Middle East have changed that TCO model, I think. And I think actually we're finding maybe even businesses that we spoke to 6 months ago, but, you know, before that conflict kicked off, perhaps they weren't interested in electrification, but now they're saying, well, actually, my diesel cost is gone through the roof now. Perhaps I should accelerate and think about that transition. But at the AFD conference, there was a really good case study in one of the panel discussions where one of the operators was talking about, actually, I've now decided in my business to make the leap of faith towards EV and commence that journey, but I've got 12 months of planning to do before I even buy a vehicle, if I'm lucky, you know, because I have to think about all of those things. So that's why for us, it's very important to engage with forums such as the EV Cafe and the AFP, because we want to listen to fleet managers, understand what's important to them, what their use cases are, and how can we respond to that. You know, it's all about being agile, because the pace is so quick, and if we don't respond, we'll get left behind.
I've got tons of questions, but just because of what you've just talked about recently, because, you know, one of the things is like, what is the market looking like for you guys? How are the vehicles being adopted? But let me reiterate a story that has recently come out from Verizon, a success story, and a success story that I know very well, because I was the objective consultant that spent time with a company called MCFT, formerly known as McFarlane Telfer. They're a kitchen maintenance provider for the corporate world, you know, so industrial kitchens, high-end restaurants, that kind of stuff. They've got over 200 engineers all around the country, and they've got vans for those engineers. And so I went in completely objective. Now, I've worked with you guys, and I obviously now work with you under the EV Cafe banner, but in this... And I told them very clearly that this is an objective test. We will look at four vehicles that you choose that will represent the market. And it included the market leader and others that have previously led the market in that in one shape or another, and the Verizon, the SV. And we also focus really closely on cost of ownership and total cost of ownership over a period of time. Now, here's the good news. They had high mileage. Now, everybody listened, what? High mileage? Really? But it was consistent. And it was consistent at around 150 to 200 miles in that a day. The condition on the initial transition was, you know, they could charge at home. So they found a number of engineers that can charge at home and some that are on the cusp of London because there's a significant chunk of money to be saved by people going into London. And the total cost of ownership model, based on that comparison and the original diesel product that was being bought, saved them between £1,500 and £2,000 a year. It was significant. And that's a mixture, right, of a lot of different things. Transaction price versus list price, you know, how long you're going to run those vehicles over, the cost of maintenance, which we could clearly demonstrate that was going to be significantly less. Reduction in the cost of going into London and a fundamental, really significant saving around fuel based on a 27 pence per kilowatt hour. So we didn't even go for the seven pence per kilowatt hour overnight stuff. So it was really clear that the total cost of ownership thing stood out. So the other thing was that this Supervan SV, you've got to call it SV in the UK because another brand have secured the rights to Supervan. Anyway, they were tested and the engineers said, this is the van that we like. And the fleet manager said, this is the van. I love the weight monitoring. It gives, so it must give you real confidence that the kind of feedback you're getting both in practical terms from a business that can buy without some of the procurement red tape that make the bigger organizations a lot harder to secure instant orders from, but you're also getting good feedback from them as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all about, in commercial vehicle world, it's all about credibility and keeping that business moving and uptime and all those kind of buzzwords, because the cost of a vehicle being off the road, and it can be quite significant for a business. You know, actually, someone told me a statistic once, and this is on a supermarket van, for example, which said that if a supermarket van was off the road, it might cost them £7,000 a day in lost revenue. If you're running 3,500 vans, times that by maybe there's 20 vans off the road for a few days, it costs a lot of money. Okay, so that really kind of hit home with me many, many moons ago when someone told me that. But you know, uptime is so important, and you have to be able to give that confidence. I'm not going to regurgitate the stuff about the AA again and our partnership there. But you know, we're really pleased that you know, a business like NTFT, McLaren Town for you know, really, they took the time to study their needs, understand their use cases, look at what the you know, what the various different vehicles could do, and you know, for us, we're super proud that they said, do you know what, here's our vote of confidence. And you know, they're for us, they're our first, our kind of, you know, bigger batch a deal, and you know, we're so happy about that. You know, it's a phenomenal achievement for us, a big milestone for us, and we have a lot of national fleet trials that are underway. Some of the ones I can talk about because they're out in the public domain will be with businesses like Centrica, for example, with VAA, with Royal Mail. So there's a Postman Pat van out there delivering mail, which we're really pleased about. We're doing a lot of work with the water companies, which Paul, you very kindly have supported with as well. So there's so much interest in it, because I think perhaps some of the existing product that's out there hasn't always met the use cases that these fleets have or these operators have. But my advice to anyone that's thinking about electrification, particularly with what's going on in the world now, is, I guess, one, really consider your use case. Okay, really think about that, because I think there's the old classic thing about range anxiety that everyone talks about. I mean, it's I think we're probably all bored of talking about that now. Actually, I think that's kind of getting over now, or certainly moving on to charging speeds. How quickly can you charge a vehicle? What are the charging rates that are there? So that's moving on, still linked, but it's moving on, because that's so important to uptime. You know, how quickly, you know, can you charge a vehicle in sub half an hour, you know, or on a V7e, given the right conditions, you can do a naught. And I'll get shot if I get this wrong, so apologies, but you know, you could take up to an 80% rapid charge in 18 minutes with the right conditions. So, you know, that's the thing that's actually important to fleet operators. But fundamentally, understand your use case, understand your charging rates, what type of charges you have access to on a regular basis, whether it's home charging, depot charging, public charging. All of that needs to be looked at. But also, be bold, I think, is probably one of the things. You see some of the fleets out there, and there's been some really good case studies. I quite like, for example, the BT Openreach case study. You know, I think they're about to take delivery of their 7,000th electric van, which is phenomenal achievement. And because they've been bold, they've been brave, they've tackled the challenges, they've accepted that, do you know what? It's not always going to be perfect, but let's try it, let's adopt, let's adapt. Look at how, you know, perhaps there needs to be some change in driver behavior or shift behavior, or, you know, if there's some administration for a driver to do, well, let's do that while it's charging, you know, so you don't actually lose that productivity. And, you know, different businesses are approaching things in a different way. But what I would say is, you know, be bold, be brave, try something a bit new and a bit different.
Cool. I mean, that is, so I'm going to go with my other question, Callum, because, you know, you and I get very excited about vans, and even Saz gets a bit excited about vans as well sometimes. I mean, you know, logistics UK gig, here we go. But I want to know what little Callum was thinking, because there's no blooming way on the planet, like me, we ever saw a day when we were sitting, well, I was at the back of class. I don't know. I think you were probably closer to the front. That we saw a day when we'd be doing vans. What were you dreaming of at the back front, wherever you were in the class, and how has it transpired that you've ended up in the wonderful world of vans?
Well, I think I probably started off secondary school at the front of the class, and as time went on, I moved to the back, and then probably sent out because I couldn't keep a straight face at school. So I was thinking back to one of my friends who used to, you know, do silly things at the back of the class, and I'd end up outside. Maybe that's why I ended up in vans. I don't know. But I actually grew up in a motoring family. You know, my father was worked in leasing many, many moons ago, and in retail, and did lots of sort of high profile jobs there. I have a brother at a leasing company, another brother that used to work in automotive. We just grew up on cars. We were all petrol heads to a point. And I actually, when I was at school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And actually, I really feel for kids today. I think it's even harder, especially with some of the, you know, there's less entry roles out there as well. You know, that's a big topic at the moment. But when I was at school, I mean, I had long hair, long curly hair, kind of a Richard Ashcroft mop. And I played in a band. All I wanted to do was be a drummer. That was it. I used to go out gigging and stuff like that. But when I left school, I didn't really know what to do. So I did what everyone else did. I went to college, picked a few A-levels, music, obviously, and because I was into that. And I was quite good at English at school. So I did English language, English literature. I left college with some A-levels, didn't know what I wanted to do. I'd been working as a part-time chef. So I started, catering in like a gastro pub. So thankfully I learned to cook, and my wife benefits from that now. I do most of the cooking now. You know, she's learned a few things, but I do most of it. I did some time as part-time chef. And then I, like everyone else, I grew up in Swindon. If you don't know what to do, there were kind of three big employers. You had Honda, you had Mini, BMW, and then you had Nationwide. I ended up in banking for 5 years, you know, working for Nationwide. And I was dealing with lots of salespeople, and I wanted to try selling, didn't know, or didn't particularly want to sell mortgages and things like that. It was not something I was passionate about. So I had a friend of mine who knew someone at a Mercedes dealer, and I ended up, you know, going for an interview and managed to talk my way into a job as a corporate salesperson, which is kind of how I ended up here. You know, I did some time in the dealer working for Sytner, which was one of the best times of my life, you know, working for that business. And I made the leap to Mercedes-Benz UK, and I spent 11 very happy years there. But you know, phenomenal business. I still have the Mercedes chip in the back of my head, and I really love that business. It stays with you. But, you know, for me, I wanted to develop myself, develop my career, develop my leadership skills. And you just see, you know, I've become so aware of the new technology and the new brands that are coming from the Far East. And you see, you know, even a few years ago, the earlier ones like BYD, for example, pop up. And you think, wow, what phenomenal product. And, you know, I was working in my last role at Mercedes-Benz as head of corporate sales for the van business, you know, so I'd moved from the car side to the dark side of commercial vehicles. And I just loved it. I just loved it. And I still love it. And hence I'm here now. So, yeah. So I think all those years ago, I didn't really expect to end up doing electric vans. But yeah, I have to say, I think I found my passion.
I find that so fascinating because at school, of course, going back in the day, and it's widely known that I also grew up near Swindon, went to school in Purton, went to college in Swindon. They flattened it. They flattened my college and turned it into a cinema, and now they've flattened the cinema as well. So I'm not sure it was really the best part of town. But the reason I love what you're talking about is every child should understand that just beginning is the key, right? Get the job somewhere you think you are interested enough to be and ask every question, gain every possible skill, get the mentor. You mentioned a mentor in my previous question. What you haven't touched on is the kind of darker side of management that we don't talk about enough, which is stress in the workplace, what your support network looks like. And again, how do you climb the ladder? And not that you can any more than GM at this place, but if you ever wanted to, how do you respond to stress? You've got cooking, you've got your family. What advice would you give to other people?
And I have to say, it's probably been one of the most stressful times in my life for the last couple of years, you know, moving to a new business. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter. I moved house twice in the last 12 months as well because we rented for a bit, and I've just bought in a village down the road just off the Cotswold Water Park. So, but actually part of that is finding a little bit of peace. When I worked at Mercedes, I was very lucky to be a part of this kind of initiative called New Ways of Working, which is looking at, okay, well, how do you approach the working day differently? There's this kind of concept around regenerative leadership, which I'd urge people to look at. It's about treating people as human beings, looking at your business as an ecosystem, a living, breathing organism, really, you know, all the different components. And you can look at, you know, it doesn't have to be all about hierarchy. And you know, bringing everyone in and getting the best value from everyone, looking after people's well-being, and that includes looking after your own. So, yeah, you know, I'm a keen dog walker. So I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning walking my dog around the local lake. You know, and for me, I'll go and stand there and I'll spend 5 minutes just taking it in. I literally do this every morning because it really sets me up for the day. And then perhaps I'll go into London or go to a dealer or customer wherever I am. And then I'll come back at the end of the day, and it might not be until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And I go and do it again. You know, I take the dog and I go and walk around this lake or down one of the trails just outside my village. And it's just a way of kind of de-stressing. And I think getting back to nature and appreciating nature and appreciating peace, you know, putting the smartphone away and just taking that time to reflect actually really does add enormous value, even through the working day. You know, taking 5 minutes away from your desk, it allows your brain waves to reset or change the frequency. It can make you more productive. So if you ever sat there at a laptop, you know, trying to work through something and it's really, really difficult, just go away for 5 minutes. Just walk away from technology, get some water, get some fresh air. It sounds strange, but touch the ground, make yourself feel grounded, and then come back to it. And I promise you, you'll feel better for it. So these are sort of things that I've kind of learned to adapt because, as I say, it's been a stressful couple of years, but a very, very enjoyable couple of years as well, especially with my daughter. You know, 2.5-year-old girl is tough. She's 2.5 going on like 18 at the moment.
Oh, bless. That's actually something all three of us have got in common. I wrote down what you said, find a little bit of peace and regenerative leadership. A manager who understands that a happy person is going to be committed, they're going to be energetic, they're going to have resilience, they're going to have really good ideas. And, you know, the youths of today call it touching grass. This is literally a thing. So a little pop-up might come up during a game or a YouTube channel and it'll go touch grass. And they have to go and actually physically touch the grass before the thing will continue. So that it's really getting that grounded element. And Paul, you hike, you do these wonderful pieces to camera about your inspiration for the day. Look at the sunrise, look at the sunset. I'm always out hiking. I can't stop. But I absolutely agree. And the more this industry evolves, the harder we are all going to have to work. We've come so far and the rate of change has been exponential. And I think this whole message around building together, but remembering we are all human is actually fundamental. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, indeed. Well, we seem to grind to a halt there, but no, we've got plenty more to do. But
yeah, it's called the magic wand. You've got to get to the magic wand.
All right.
I want this. I want to know what he says.
So there was about to be a surprise.
Oh, dear.
But the surprise has been spoiled.
It's ruined by me again. Oh, no.
So, we have a closing tradition. You've given us real insight. And I love that last piece. And I love that. I kind of wish I had a dog. We don't have one because we don't. Really, we're not here enough. I was reviewing my Sunday morning walks, which I do on LinkedIn. I always post a Sunday morning walk. And every time I think, oh, I'm not going to bother, somebody says, oh, I love your Sunday morning walk. You know, they always remind me to do whatever it is. And I go and do my Sunday morning walks because it is about grounding. It's about taking that moment with nature. It's about just really clearing your mind and focusing on the things that are important, you know. I think that is great. And your journey and the technology, all of this is good. But we at the EV Cafe have a closing tradition, a very special thing, which is, as Sarah's already said, the magic wand.
Oh, it's the real one. You've got the real one.
This is the real magic wand. So you are specially blessed because actually your wish might come true. People had to put up with the selfie stick before. Now, that made my dreams come true.
The seashell was the worst
one. Oh, the seashell. Yeah.
The seashell was horrendous. Yeah.
We've got screwdriver, we've got all kinds, but you've got the OG, and here it is. And so it's coming to you over the airwaves. There we go. And it's now all the way down.
He's got it. Yeah.
What is this?
The village?
there it is. Look, see, it's transparent and even transformed. It's amazing. This is a very magic wand, and it reappears something completely different. But tell us, Callum, what would you wish for in the industry? You've covered lots of different topics today, and there'll be some passions in there that you think, gosh, if only this could happen. And it could be, I mean, we've had a personal chef, we've had world peace, obviously. I mean, that, you know, it goes without saying, and many other things. But feel free, what would you wish for?
If I focus on the industry and not world peace, which of course we all naturally wish for, but it is the obvious one to go for. Actually, I think it's kind of coming back to what we were talking about before. You know, automotive is a very, very busy place to be. It can be in places, it can be quite cutthroat. There is a lot of stress, there's a lot of focus on numbers. And of course, we're all, you know, naturally in a sales environment, you're measured by your previous months, you know, you're back to zero and off you go again. But I think sometimes what's forgotten is actually looking after the well-being of the people that you work with. I think it's incredibly important, you know. And I think we touched on that earlier, you know, managing stress and looking after yourself is really important. And I think creating a working environment where people feel safe to speak out or share what's on their mind or challenge things is incredibly important, so that people aren't bottling things up. You know, one of the main things we've introduced in our business, which again is something that came from work with our previous employer, was a mood meter. So we survey all of our team every other week, you know, four questions. How were the last 2 weeks for you? How are you feeling about the next 2 weeks? What would change that for you? And anything else to add? And we publish it chapter and verse every 2 weeks. It's diamond. All the comments go up there, regardless of what it is. There's no censorship. And what that means is we're exposed as a leadership team to what's going on, but it means that and all of the feedback is anonymous. We have no way of knowing what it is, but it gives us a real temperature check, which is so important, particularly in a small business and a relatively new business. And I take great value from that. And I think taking that moment to reflect, we won't always get it right. We can't always solve everything that comes through on there as a challenge. But I think the magic one thing or wish for me would be that actually the whole industry and all the leadership and all the businesses really take time to think about protecting and looking after the welfare of the people that work within it. You know, I think there are charities out there, Ben, for example, being one of them, and I really focus on this topic. And there's some really kind of quite scary statistics there, you know, particularly related to mental health and stress. So, yeah, probably more appreciation, more time, more consideration for the people that are all really trying to do a good job.
Oh,
wonderful.
Thank you. That is so beautifully put. And at the end of the year, we chop all those up and put them into a big old chunk of joy. So I'm really pleased to hear you say that about the welfare of people. In what an episode, Paul. We've gone everywhere from uptime in a van and how on our side of the fence, uptime on a charger is all we ever talk about. But uptime in a van is equally as important. And look, you may feel like a small business, but you're massively backed, not just by your head investor or China and everywhere in between, but now us in the EV Cafe who adore what you're doing. And, you know, we're all five crazy personalities, but there's one thing for sure. We all absolutely love those vans. And as a challenger brand, I think you're going to go very, very far. If we can get those bums on seats, do more things like the EV rally, those test drive days, again, pop along to the showrooms, you say geographically spread around the UK, the future looks seriously bright, particularly with someone like you, Callum, at the head of the table at the GM of Verizon, because we can learn a lot from you. And I would really like a lot of leaders to learn a lot from you. Anybody who gets the pleasure of meeting your team will be pleased to hear that you do practice what you preach, because I'm sure they'd say the same as me.
Very kind of you. Very kind of you. Get emotional now.
Oh, but so we pontificated on whether it would be a pleasure or not for people to have spent this 45, 50 minutes with us. And I heartily believe I think we've had a lovely balance between the technology side and vans, because I love a van. But we've also seen, I think, the man Callum as well, and the leader, really that the way you articulated that whole process, and also that sense of grounding each day. I just think it's priceless and so valuable, and obviously gives you a really great foundation for the business. And it's exciting to see the journey that you guys are on, and how you've embraced the market, and how you've gone to market. The opportunity to get bums on seats, it's all been truly fantastic. So with that all in mind, what have we missed? Have we missed anything? Is there something that you'd like to leave us with? Not you, Sass.
No, but there's a celebrity on the call that the listeners may or may not hear if we edit it out or not. The dog made an appearance. I didn't know whose dog it was, but now I know it must have been Callum's dog. It went barking in the background. I think we should keep it in.
I think it was my neighbour's dog. My dog knows not to bark, but my neighbour's dog gets triggered by anything. We get a lot of planes where I live as well, because we live near the airbase. Yeah. A lot of American planes going in and out. So lots of dogs barking. So apologies. But
I love a dog.
But I guess we'll always think one thing to leave you with. Like I say, I think it's probably the message that I gave to AFB. You know, please try new things, look at different things, obviously I'm going to say try a Verizon van and you know, please reach out to our dealer partners, reach out to us. More than happy to engage, more than happy to provide those demos, but just be bold and try something a bit different. Don't always follow the status quo.
That is the perfect way to end, with a proper call to action, a bit of a challenge, but also an offer. So listen, Callum, thank you so much. Sass, thank you for your company. As always, it's been an absolute joy, guys. And I think you'll agree with me, won't you? It's been a pleasure. And if you want more pleasure, there is lots more pleasure there over on the EV Cafe website. There is over 160 podcasts, many of which will tickle your fancy. There's some great people there. If you want to connect with Callum, do so on LinkedIn. They can do that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Boost your numbers there, but also follow Verizon, see their journey and see what they're doing. You can also check out my video on YouTube if you like. I did a video on the Verizon van, and I'll probably do one on the V7e in the not too distant future. Hint, hint, Callum. And lots more good stuff out there on the EV Cafe YouTube website. You can follow us on Instagram and, of course, on LinkedIn. Just connect with us in every way, because that be bold, that opportunity to go out and try something new, you can do that with those guys directly and also through us. So please do. And in the meantime, have a great day. We look forward to seeing you next time.